Well, good afternoon. We'll start this session. I'm pleased to see all of you here. And we have a very interesting panel that's going to cover several key areas. The name of our session is Mobilizing a Public Health Campaign. It's part of an all-day track, if you will, of health advocacy sessions that started this morning. And if you kind of search through the different time slots, you'll see that they're all interconnected. And in particular, today's approach to advocacy issues and best examples, if you will, or lessons learned for you to take with you after this session's over are all about local and state initiatives. My name is Leon Vinci. I am Director of Public Health for a county health department, actually a district with several counties right here in Colorado. So welcome to our state. I'm happy to be host for you. And today I'm also, I also serve APHA on the Action Board. And the Action Board is the group that's kind of behind this particular session. I am the chairman of the Advocacy Committee, which is a subset of the Action Board. And it's the actual committee that puts together this session. So welcome again. Session is Mobilizing a Public Health Campaign, and our first presenter will be Mauricio Palacio. He is the director, and has been since July of 2005, the director of the Office of Health Disparities here in Colorado with the State Department of Public Health and Environment. He's been with the department for more than 16 years. His master's degree is in health education, and he has a BA degree, a bachelor's degree in healthcare management from Southern Illinois University. His experience in minority health projects, task forces, and initiatives throughout his public health career include work with HIV and STD field investigations, also education and training in the HIV STD area, AIDS Ryan White Care Act Administration, and also a prevention of viral hepatitis. Mauricio has served as Colorado's Hepatitis C Coordinator for 4 years prior to assuming his current position as Director of the Office of Health Disparities. His most recent work focuses on eliminating health disparities in Colorado by fostering systems change and capacity building through collaborations with agencies and sectors impacting the determinants of health. In 2004, Mauricio completed the Advanced Leadership Training program from the Regional Institute for Health and Environmental Leadership. He is a member of the Master in Public Health Advisory Board for the University of Northern Colorado and a founding member of the Academy for Health Equity. His topic today, we'll be talking about some of his experiences here in Colorado and, of course, is aptly named Addressing Health Disparities in Colorado. And with that, I'll turn it over to Mauricio.
Thank you and good afternoon. I want to join Leon in welcoming you to Colorado and Denver. As he said, I'm here in the state, and it's very exciting for us to have APHA this year in Denver, Colorado. Let me start by addressing what the learning objectives for today will be. Those include to explain how to coordinate an effective, comprehensive approach to eliminating health disparities in your area, and also to describe key components needed to develop the infrastructure and strategies to address health disparities at the state and local level. Let me grab my water. And I thought a really good way to show that is to share with you the background and the process that we went through to create the Colorado Office of Health Disparities and also our Minority Health Advisory Commission. So let's start with that. We were lucky to apply and get a grant from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation for the Turning Point Initiative. And really, those of you who may not be familiar with this, the idea was to coordinate public health efforts and develop a public health improvement plan. As part of developing that plan, the department conducted an assessment, and you know, many of you have heard that, oh, Colorado is a really healthy state and you don't have obesity and some things like that. But you know what? As part of that assessment, we realized that, yes, we do have health disparities in Colorado. And in fact, as part of that, they decided to develop an entire chapter on health disparities. And after that, we have issued several health disparities reports. So one key thing from the very beginning was to partner with the Colorado Minority Health Forum. And this is an entity that was comprised of different diverse individuals. And the department, the Colorado Minority Health Forum, after looking at the assessment, figure out that we really needed a Colorado Office of Health Disparities and put together a proposal. And the proposal, of course, had to be shared with the internal staff, with our executive director, with our chief medical officer. That was key in furthering this effort. Also with public health agencies and public health associations in our state, and they were very supportive. They wrote letters of recommendation and so on. And obviously with the different colleagues that impact health disparities to get their support and advice and so on. As part of this process, town hall meetings were conducted and focus groups that were held throughout the state. This one, educating legislators on health disparities, is a little bit tricky. Some of you may say, well, you know, I may be working for the government and we cannot lobby. We cannot lobby, but nothing prohibits us from educating the legislature and the policymakers about health disparities or whatever advocacy issue that we're working on. And that was our approach. And we educate policymakers not only at the legislature, but you know, policy happens at the neighborhood, at the county, at the city, at the state level. After all this effort and all this data was gathered and a really good, solid plan was put together, our executive director was on board, and he created the office and the Minority Health Advisory Commission in our public health department, state public health department. And then we were lucky that out of tobacco tax dollars, there was Amendment 35 created to address cancer, cardiovascular, and pulmonary disease. And there was a specific health disparities grant program created in that. And you know what was really helpful was that we had educated some of our legislators. So when that idea came forward and there was a lot of collaboration in crafting that legislation, that a specific program on health disparities was created. Then we were trying to fund this office as our Robert Wood Johnson funding was dwindling. And I have to be honest with you, we ran into the issue of foundation saying, wait a minute, you know, this is a state function. Why should we fund this? No, go talk to your legislature. But we didn't give up and we talked to the different foundations and we built the case and we said, you know, we need seed money to really get the office going and to have some solid goals and objectives and data and partnerships in place. And we are sure that, you know, the state will follow. And we were lucky that Kaiser Permanente heard us and gave us seed money to get the office going. That was in 2005. Then we released our second health disparities report, and it wasn't just data. We had a community advisory group that said, you know, even our own people, when you throw health inequities, health disparities, they don't know what that is. So really got to educate them about what it means to communities, and we did that in our report. Has information on the determinants of health, has information on immigration, has information on racism, and all the root causes of health disparities, so we can, you know, it's not just statistics, but it's an educational tool. Then after that report was issued, we also applied for funding to the federal government, the Office of Minority Health, and we received our state partnership grant. This was really helpful because we were able to hire a program evaluator and a health disparity specialist to really start penetrating systems. We do not provide direct services. We're all about systems change. There are folks out there doing diabetes screening, HIV/AIDS, cardiovascular disease prevention. We are about systems change. So after we, losing my cursor, after we receive our funding, we were able to get the office, the Minority Health Advisory Commission, and our Interagency Health Disparities Leadership Council in statute. This was huge. And again, this was possible because of the education and partnerships that we built at the very beginning. And there were a couple legislators that carried the bill, and they were key. There was some resistance, but we did get the office in statute. Around that same time, in addressing the different components, you know, to address disparities, you have to work on workforce diversity. So we created the Recruiting and Retaining Youth of Color into the Health Professions. It's a great collaborative of colleges, universities, different entities that serve youth and are concerned about youth, and it's really exciting. One of the things that we did, other than creating a strategic plan, we have what it's called a Health Professions Opportunity Day, and we bring middle and high school students. We start early when they're picking their electives and their subject matters in school, and we pair them with public health and environmental health professionals to get them really excited and give them direction to join the health professions. Then we disseminated last year in 2009 our third health disparities report. We just received another grant from the feds, a state partnership grant to continue our effort. Okay, good. I'm doing good on time. So now let me highlight some key components of our effort. I've kind of gone fast in showing the process that we followed. Data collection is key. For us, the beginning was a statewide assessment as part of our public health improvement plan. But if you're working in a county, in a city, there are many data available at your level. We just gotta be willing to look for it. The schools have data. You have data from the Youth Risk Behavior Survey and the Behavioral Risk Surveillance Survey. I always get that out of order, but there's really good data out there. There's also data on poverty, on income, on housing, labor and employment that would be really helpful in addressing health disparities in your area and in building the case for your community. Education is key. It worked for us, educating not only the communities, but also the policymakers at all levels, and funders, and public health agencies. This was key for us. Engaging communities. Many of us in public health oftentimes are, you know, we're very passionate about working for the public's health, and sometimes we bring these models that have worked somewhere else and we're ready to implement, but we don't go to the community to make sure that they're on board and they're engaged in the developing, planning, and implementation of programs, and that is key, to involve them from the very beginning. Again, engaging leadership and decision makers, internal, external, at the community level, legislators, funders, that was key, and I would say it's very important you do that if you're developing a specific program in your area. In building partnerships, the way we worked at that initially, we were providing trainings on collaborative leadership to bring people together, and there, you know, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation actually had a model, if you wanna look into that. We also provided leadership scholarships. We have a tri-state effort. It's called the Regional Institute for Health and Environmental Leadership, and that's been key. We have funded folks to participate in the training, and in return, they have conducted very productive health disparity projects. One of them was the formation of our Minority Health Advisory Commission. And having an active presence in communities, being there, knowing what communities are about, not just their collecting data, but participating in events, meeting the stakeholders, meeting the community leaders, the faith community. So very quickly, as we're talking about frameworks, it's an exciting time in our nation right now. The Office of Minority Health has undertaken this major effort to develop and create the National Partnership for Action to End Health Disparities. And many meetings have already happened at the regional and national level, and they are trying to bring the different federal agencies that have an impact on people's health from a comprehensive approach to bring disparities to the forefront and to their agenda. So just very quickly, here are the goals of the National Partnership for Action. You could go Google the Office of Minority Health and get more information, but to increase awareness of health disparities, to strengthen and broaden leadership, to improve health system and life experience, to improve cultural and linguistic competency, to improve data availability and coordination and use of research and evaluation outcomes. The work that we're doing here in Colorado really mirrors this National Partnership for Action, and we're very excited about that. We're going to be able to support it and contribute to it. Here you see very quickly a summary on the left column of the goals and some of the strategies of the NPA. And I want to just go through some of there. Awareness of health disparities, and you know, as part of many agendas with the agencies that we work with, make sure that disparities is in there, creating partnerships, using media to develop messages that are specific and culturally competent to our communities, using communication to disseminate our message, providing capacity building to enhance leadership, funding and research priorities. Here for health system and life experience, we see access to care for all, and we've had legislation now. We need to take care of at-risk children and also provide opportunities for healthy aging. Health communications need to be not only culturally appropriate, but to look at health literacy so people could understand our messages. Education is really key. In many states, we have really high dropout rates, and we need to work really hard to make sure that our youth are graduating and enrolling in the different health professions and environmental professions that are going to have a good impact on our public health. And work on policies that are going to impact social and economic conditions. Here we see cultural and linguistic competence, the importance of a culturally competent workforce, the importance of diversity, those that are doing translation and interpretation, that these are done following standards, that we're not grabbing a child to interpret for his or her mother. And for data research and evaluation, that we share that information between agencies, between researchers, between communities, and I'm minimizing all the examples here, but I just wanted to give you a quick highlight. So here's what we're doing in the office. I actually have copies of my PowerPoint and the functions of the office in the back if you'd like to take one. But our vision is that all Coloradans will have an equal opportunity to be healthy regardless of race and ethnicity. And as you see here in our mission, we want to do that by eliminating racial and ethnic disparities by fostering systems change and capacity building through multi-sectoral collaboration, not by providing direct services. And how much time do I have? Okay, I'm almost getting there. So what do? We coordinate this great Minority Health Advisory Commission, and that's also being key. We had legislators part of this commission, and they advise us at the level of our executive director. Some states have minority health commissions that advise the governor. You could have that at the county level or at the city level. In Denver, we have different commissions as well. We were lucky to have this health disparities grant program. That really helps build partnerships with the community when you're providing funding for programs there. And this Interagency Health Disparities Leadership Council, this was our idea to address the determinants of health. We are just public health. But to address the root causes, you need the Department of Education, you need Department of Corrections, because many people of color are grossly represented in prison and jails and all that. You need behavioral health, you need the community-based organizations. So this council has been a really great collaborative to get health disparities on the agenda of the different agencies and to educate and raise awareness. We provide technical assistance and education on the data that we collect on health disparities, on cultural competence, on building community partnerships, and on the determinants of health. We're really trying to get people to work together, and if you're addressing the same community, people are, do not live in silos, so we shouldn't conduct public health in silos. The promotion of workforce diversity is key, and I talked about the recruiting and retaining youth of color into the health professions. Limited English proficient individuals need our help, but they're part of our communities. We developed a great online course on why we need language access and why is Title VI of the Civil Rights Act very important. And we also implemented a language access policy in our department that we want to share with other public health agencies. We work with communities to build capacity. We're conducting community discussions where the process is owned by the community and the community engages in dialogue to identify priorities, goals, strategies, and we just help them convene them and bring resources to run the meetings, but it's a community-owned process. And we publish our health disparities reports. I had a couple copies of our executive summary, but if you'd like to see what we've done, they're available on our website. And we have two more presenters, so I'm going to end there. Thank you.